evening, everybody.
Good evening.
To God be the glory. I was driving back from Gainesville today, and I began to magnify the Lord just for being who He is. And it was such an incredible time riding and pointing out the glory of God and how God has been in my life, all of my life. There has never been a moment that God hasn't been present with me. And I was acknowledging that and giving Him praise and talking to Lord Jesus about the wonders of God's love in us and how Holy Spirit has been walking with me. And one of the things that really struck my heart with the Lord is the fact how much He loves us. And I don't mean that in a quantitative value. I'm just the fact that God, the creator of the universe, loves us.
Amen.
And how He to spend times with us, and even though we don't think He's there, but when He's actually is there. And one of the things that I said to the Lord, and I hope all of you all can say this today, and I hope you can say it right now, God, I am truly in love with You. I'm truly satisfied with You, and I'm truly pleased with You being my God.
Amen. Yes,
and I meant that from the bottom of my heart. And the top side, or the bottom side of that, shall I say, not top side, but the bottom side of it, I said, now, Father, I just hope that my life can be pleasing to You, as pleasing to You and Lord Jesus, as You all are to me.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
Because God has been mighty good to me. All of my life. And what the Holy Spirit reminded me today, not just when I got saved, because His love is constant.
Amen.
It's just I became aware of it when He saved me, because the Spirit made me aware. But His love is constant, and I realized that and seeing, wow, look at that.
Amen.
And so I was just so in love with the Lord, and I still am for eternity. And I could hear the kids sing that song, Shelly, I'm in love with Jesus. And that's why I asked Tamara, I said, can the kids sing that Sunday? Because we need to let Him know that I'm in love with You, Jesus. We don't do that enough.
You know,
whether it's, huh?
You know, something funny is she'd already picked for him to sing the Lord's Prayer on Sunday.
Awesome.
Is that what you want then?
Well, yes, I do. I really do. I want them to sing, I'm in love with Jesus. Because we need to love our Lord. Not always come and expecting blessings to flow down from heaven on us. We need to come in this place and just tear heaven wide open with love going up to Him.
Amen.
We need to flood the gates with our love for the Father and for our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. We need to just push heaven down with our love to God.
Amen.
And this morning when Belinda and June and I had breakfast at McDonald's on 13th Street, we prayed. I prayed with them before we ate. And we were sitting there eating. A lady walked up to us and she said, you know what? I appreciate what you just did. Not afraid to love God publicly and to pray. I said, yes, ma'am. We got to. And I want these two young babies sitting here among us right now, these two teenagers, I want them to know that this 55-year-old man loved Jesus. I love God with all my heart. And I'm not ashamed to tell people that. I'm 285 pounds, and I'm not ashamed to tell people I love Jesus. And that's what I want for everybody. And I don't know if you all notice here, last two or three weeks, the Holy Spirit has really bringing us to a new level in Christ. Have you noticed that spiritually? How the Lord, even through our suffering and challenges of life, that's what the Lord has been doing. That's what this Bible study is all about. This particular chapter right here is about God's love being reflected in both the Jews and the Gentile Christians. This particular chapter. I need to make a correction. The Holy Spirit reminded me yesterday and today. I need to make a correction. I kind of confused something in my teaching with you all. And I've always asked the Lord to humble me. When I teach something wrong and the Holy Spirit brings it to my attention, I want to come back and say, hey, I messed up. Okay? Here's how I messed up. Chapter 14 is about table fellowship. The Jews didn't understand why Gentiles could not have the same kind of diet they had, observe the same dietary laws from God. Okay? It wasn't necessarily eating food that was offered to idols. When I was reading through 1 Corinthians 15, that is the hallmark of that chapter, food being offered to idols. And I go, oh my Lord, how did I mess the two up? I know this stuff backwards and forward. How in the world did I allow myself to get confused like that? And it's easy if you've been operating in the flesh instead of operating in the spirit. Mm-hmm. Okay?
So what was the correction?
The correction is, and I'm glad you want a clear answer on that, the Jews didn't understand why Gentiles weren't eating the same type of food they were eating.
Oh, I got that.
Okay? What's laid out in the law of Moses. And you see that in and
like pork.
Pork and other things that that was being eaten by Gentiles that was not kosher. We call it today kosher food. Right? Mm-hmm. And so we have to remember that this thing for the Gentiles was new. They were very, very unaware of the cultural diet, the cultural restrictions that God had put in place for Israel. They were not aware of this. And so for Israel, the Jews of that day to get upset, it was just kind of, in a sense, overlooking the fact that these Gentiles did not know. And then the Gentiles, on the other hand, like, in your face, I do what I want to. Okay? Instead of being sensitive to those Jews who were still trying to observe, because as a Jewish person, as an Israelite, you were talking about really offending God if you ate things that you weren't supposed to. And we see that in Acts 10 when Peter, when God let down the sheet with the unclean animals, and Peter said, Lord, nothing unclean ever touched my mouth, Lord. You know, and Peter, in a way, he was kind of like, God, I can't believe you're doing this when you told us not to do this. But he was teaching him a very powerful message about, you know, other people that God had created. Not to call them unclean, and for them, to, for Peter to go and minister the gospel to them. But you're going to see now a new layout of how I want you to go home and study, because I just want this to, in a sense, as the Holy Spirit is giving you this overview or in depth, you need to go home also and take these notes and ask the Holy Spirit, what is it that you're showing me today about this chapter? What is it? Some of the key questions here on this sheet is, number one, if I was a Jewish Christian of that day, how would you want me to behave? How? And if I was that same Jewish Christian today, how would you want me to behave? And equally, if I was a Gentile Christian of that day in Rome, how would you want me to behave? And to balance it out, if I was the same, and we are today, we are Gentile Christians, how does the Lord want you and I to behave today? Okay, very, very powerful. And then the rest of that chapter basically is about Paul saying, look, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to meet with the brothers there. And then when I leave there, I'm going to be headed to Spain. And on my way to Spain, I'm going to stop by and see you all. So Paul basically had planned out his next so-called missionary journey. At this point here, he had completed his third, what we call his third missionary journey. And you see some of those towns listed in this chapter. So when that pop up in scripture, I'll remind you, this is Paul's third missionary journey. It come to an end. But Paul has no idea what's in store for him. The Bible says a man makes plans, but God orders his footsteps.
Amen.
Meaning, God got all the say-so. You know how many people like to say God got the last say-so? That's a lie from hell. God got all of the say-so.
Amen.
Okay? He may allow you to have a little bit of it. So that's basically what we're going to do. We might even finish this book today, because as we go down through chapter 15, it's basically from majority of it is Paul telling you about what he's done and what lays ahead. Okay. And then chapter 16 is basically his goodbye, his benediction of his letter to the church in Rome. Okay. And to give honor to whom honor is due, he's going to recognize some folks and give honor, which tells us today that's also what we need to be doing. When God, people are doing the work of God, we need to be honoring them.
Amen.
Okay? Any questions? All right, well, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much that you love us, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we can't even fathom the love that Father gave you to give us. As you reminded the world through the eyes of Israel by your prophets, through David and through Isaiah, how you would send your light, your servant, to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles will listen and place our hope in him. Lord Jesus, that's you. The Father had already decreed that he would send you to us, the nations, but first to the nation of Israel. And tonight, Lord, we are living testimonies that your word is true, that you have come to the nation of Israel, and you have come to the nations, and you're still going to both of us. And through the two nations of people, you have made one nation, that's the nation of God, which we call the kingdom of God. And Lord, tonight, as Holy Spirit points out some things, we're asking you, Father, just be pleased with us. And if we've sinned in any way, Lord Jesus, we're asking that you cleanse us right now and forgive us. Give us a heart to repent first, Lord, because there's no need of us lying to you and asking you to forgive us if there's no heart change. And then, Lord, we just threw out all of us. If Spirit just touch our heart to adore you and to love you and to praise you and to worship you, Father, I'm okay with that too. Because I don't own this Bible study. You do. I'm just your servant. And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, let the presence of God, the glory of God, have its way here. Lord, do what you want to do with us. Lord Jesus, we belong to you. And we want you with us. And so to your name be all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, I hope I don't push this button again, so I'm going to try to keep my hands on the side of this thing. King James Version side, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And not to please ourselves. That's a problem today. It was a problem in the Roman church. It's a problem in today's church. Because we don't want to, as say, get in other people's business as a stronger people in Christ. And then as the wicked ones, we also like to say, I don't want everybody to know my business. Well, just in case you don't know it, your business is God's business. And if you belong to Jesus, your business is his church business. So we have a responsibility to God in Christ to know one another's business.
Amen.
So how are you going to know whether or not that Christian is weak or one is strong if we don't know what's going on with each other?
Amen. That's right.
And so we want to get uppity and all secretive and saying, ain't getting in my business. Well, what did he just say in this opening chapter? How are you going to strengthen someone and take care of them and be in order to please that person if you don't know what's going on with them? And when I say what's going on with them, this really means know what's going on with them. And it doesn't mean for you to go out and broadcast their business in the streets. It means that you go to that person and you love on that person. And you tell them, look, I understand you're having some difficulties right now. I just want to help you. And you don't have to get in the nitty gritty because God already knows what's going on. So there's a way that you can go to a brother or sister and strengthen them without putting their business in the streets.
Amen.
Okay? And that's one of the things I want you also to restructure how you pray for people. Understand who our God is. Understand who Jesus is. Because remember this. Remember this. Whenever the Pharisees would get mad at Jesus but didn't verbally express it, and the Word of God says, and he perceived their thoughts, that means he knew what was going on in their what? In their heads and their minds, right? So when you pray for a person, do you think God don't already know what's going on with that person? Hello, somebody. You don't think the Holy Ghost don't know what's going on?
And in your mind, too.
That's right. So God didn't ask you to give him a resume of the person's life. He said, pray for him and tell God what's wrong and ask God to heal it right then.
Amen.
Father, she has a broken heart. Don't need to know why, because God already knows the why. We're asking God, now, Father, we're asking that you heal her broken heart in the name of Jesus right now. Okay? Because let me tell you, as a pastor, I've been pastoring for many years now. One of the things the Holy Spirit has helped me to be a very keen in listening. And I hear when people are praying and they want to pray for somebody, all of a sudden they're throwing the dirt, the garbage out there. And I'm going, wait a minute, that's not a prayer. That's gossip. And we're going to have a talk. You can get up in front of people and pray for people in need. Okay? Be kind and loving and compassionate and pray for the need. But if there's a problem with a person, you need to come see your pastor. Or go see a deacon. Go see another brother and sister like the Word of God says. And confront that issue. Okay? And work those things out. Don't use public prayer as a place to slander someone. Okay. Anyway, so we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. So when we do this, when we go to a person, say, okay, understand you're having some moments of, you know, some downtime here, there's some things you're struggling with, and I come to help you with it. And if it means you canceling a lunch date with somebody or a shopping trip with somebody, okay? Because notice how it says, because when you go on dinner dates and or whatever things that you're going to make yourself feel good, sometimes you have to cancel out on those things in order to meet the need of the person. That's what he's saying in verse 1. That's a huge verse right there. Okay? Because I've asked the body of Christ a question. We was in jeopardy one time, really bad here financially. And I called up a certain brother in Christ that's very wealthy. And nobody told me? No, not now. I got some things planned. Well, later on, you know what I found out his plans were? Fishing trips and hunting trips. and all kind of other recreational things that were very costly.
Mm-hmm. It's pleasures.
Pleasures. And I cried. I literally cried before God. And I said, Lord, when does those things become more important than your work?
And then we got blessed.
The Lord is good. And you know what? I hadn't told y'all, we were struggling up to yesterday. And today, God blessed us huge.
Yes!
Today, God blessed us huge. And again, on the way to Gainesville, I'm saying, Lord, you never cease to take care of your house. It's not my ministry, it's not your ministry, not anybody. This ministry belongs to Jesus. This is his house. Why wouldn't he take care of his own stuff? Amen. That's faith. That's trusting God. And so, anyway, did I beat a dead horse? No. A very lively horse that needed to be ridden. You all need to understand that. Okay? Verse 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to what? Edification, or to build himself up. One of the biggest discouragements by the unsaved world when it comes to the church is that you shoot your wounded. Mm-hmm. And you stomp your dead. Mm-hmm. So why would I want to become a Christian if that's how you all treat each other? But Paul was pointing out here in verse 2, there's an old passage from Deuteronomy where the Lord told the children of Israel while they were still in the wilderness and had not yet occupied the promised land, he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You remember when the rich young ruler came to Lord Jesus and said, what is the greatest commandment? The Lord Jesus told him first, he gave him what we call the Shema from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, Israel, for the Lord is one. You have to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then Jesus added one more dimension, and he said, with your mind. That was the fourth one, right? He said, this is the first of all the commandments, right? And then he turned around and said, and you're to love your neighbor as you love who? Yourself. And I'm going, God, he must have a lot of folks in the church house don't love themselves then. Because there's a lot of misery and hell in the church house. Cliques and things going on. And I'm going, wow, did you see that? And I've seen youth leaders literally create cliques within youth by going and getting certain youth and only fellowshipping with those youth and those families. And I brought it up to their attention as a fellow pastor. Said, look, you got 90 other youth that you need to be showing equal attention to. Amen. How do you think these feel? Because you only socialize with these. Okay? So it's our responsibility to go. Edification means that you have to go and encourage. You have to go at times even carry. And one of the places that you see this really, really pointed out by Paul in his letter to the Galatian church. In the end of that letter, Paul said, you who's strong in the faith, go to that brother that's weak and build him up. Okay? He didn't say go and cut him down and tell him you ignorant, you stupid. What do you do that for?
That's not building.
That's tearing down. So look, the greatest way you can build a person up, number one, I'm going to teach you a little bit about psychology real quick. Do you know the differences between sympathizing and empathizing? Do you know the difference between the two? Sympathizing means that you have suffered the same identical suffering. You have experienced the same kind of suffering. And so you tell the person, my mom was killed right along here in that bank. We're both hurting right now. And I just want to love on you. Similar hurt. They both lost their mom in the same shooting. Empathizing. This is important because in the church world, we often get the two confused. Empathizing is you notice sister's hurting, and you come to that sister and say, sis, I know you're hurting, and I don't understand that kind of hurt because I never lost a child, but I do know you're hurting. What can I do to help you? Well, can you just sit with me a little bit? When I was a hospital chaplain, that was one of the biggest things that we had to learn right away. Because, you know, preachers, we like to do what?
Preach.
You know what most patients wanted the chaplain to do?
Listen.
Sit and listen. Just simply knowing that you're there gave them more strength than you can imagine. So I would go and I would sit for hours with patients. And my colleague said, man, you stay how long with that patient? I said, yeah, I just spent 4 hours with this patient. Just sit.
As long as they needed you.
Yeah. I wanted to walk out. Oh, can you stay a little bit longer, champ? I said, yeah, okay. I basically covered all my rounds. Yeah. Okay. So building one another up doesn't necessarily mean going talking. And never put your experiences before the person's current experience. Remember that. And if you do, or if you are led by the Spirit to give a word, make sure it's a word that's lining up with the word of God and not a word from you.
Amen.
There is a difference. Okay? So go build up the edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. Remember Jesus said the Son of Man did not come to serve. To be served, but to do what?
Serve.
To serve and to give himself as a ransom. Boy, that for a Jewish leader to hear that. Because what was the profile of the religious leaders of Israel? Majority of them wanted to be seen by the people, and Lord Jesus bust them out. They wanted to pray on the street corner so they could be seen.
Yeah.
Right? He said they wanted the best seats in the synagogue. That means they sit up along the wall, up on a platform, and they had a footstool. And they would sit there, and they wore the best robes because they wanted to be what? Seen. And so Lord Jesus said, don't you dare be like that. Okay? So, for even Christ did not come please himself. The stripes on his back showed that. The wounds in his hand and his feet showed that. And his side, the crown of thorns. What about even before he got to the cross? What about the 3.5 years before the cross? What about that? Have you studied that carefully in the four Gospels? Have you really studied the ridicule that he went through constantly?
Always being mocked and accused.
Yeah. What about in his hometown of Nazareth, after he had read what is known today as Isaiah 61, when they handed him the scroll, and he said, today this reading, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Do you know what they tried to do to him? If you go back and examine the text very carefully, you'll find out that they tried to grab him because Nazareth sat up on a ridge. That means it was high up on a hill. They tried to take him and throw him head first down off of the ridge. Okay?
Jesus?
Yes. They wanted to kill him. Because when he just told them, by saying, today, this reading has just been fulfilled in your hearing. He just told them that he's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. And they go, what? And they wanted to take him out. Blackman. And it says, surely you will say, physician, heal yourself. I will prove it. Okay? Prove it. Read that. So the Lord Jesus Christ himself went through constantly. In the way I was this morning, I read John chapter 10 for a reason because I felt this sense, even though I was tired, I felt this sense of I wanted to be close to our Lord. I just wanted that closeness. Anybody ever get that way? And I told you, I'm 6'1", 285 pounds, and I'm not ashamed to tell you, I want to be close to my Lord. I just want to. And I was reading, as he's describing being the good shepherd and the hireling and the gate and all this good stuff and the fold and the difference between the fold and the flock and how the good shepherd gives his life and how the people begin to ridicule him. And then he told them his true identity. He said, I am the Son of God. In that passage, go back and read it carefully. He told him, he said, I am the Son of God. For this reason, you want to kill me because I told you I'm the Son of God? He said, if you don't believe me, believe the works that I do. And the very works, because no other human in history had ever done the things that Lord Jesus done.
That was John what?
John chapter 10. And so, as you're going through that, especially in the closing part of that chapter, verse 30, he said, for my Father and I are one. If that don't give you goosebumps to just want to lay close to Jesus, just love him, kiss his feet, you know, just read it. And that's the Spirit that lets you feel what he's feeling, his love, as you're reading that. And see the nastiness of human behavior towards our Savior, our Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Creator. The scripture tells in Colossians 1 that God used Jesus to create the universe and everything in it. Jesus is the creator of life. Okay? So does John 1:3 tells you that too. Now, the reproaches, there's a passage there, so the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. That means Jesus buried our sins. Jesus buried our sin. This little pretty head girl sitting up there behind that laptop that can't keep the screen from going blank. Jesus died for that pretty little jewel right there because there was a place in hell for her. Hello. And there was a place in hell for me and a place in hell for you. Hello. But the scripture says, well, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of who? Of God. And Jesus came and said, not on my watch. Oh, come on. He said, I'm going to the cross for you, baby. He said, I'm not going to let you go to hell if you listen to me. Oh, that's some good stuff, ain't it? He said, No human will have to go to hell to listen to Lord Jesus. That is the lake of fire. Okay? Thank you, Lord. So that reproach fell on him. So he was serving to the utmost quality of service is Jesus hanging on the cross and giving his life as a ransom for us. No greater service than that. He said, no greater service than this than a man should lay down his life for his what? For his friend. Bingo. There it is. Pretty, pretty important. And so, look at here. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. Paul said, I want you to go back and I want you to look at the scriptures. And I want you to look at them from Genesis to Malachi, and everything that's written there was written for our example. You go, boy, that's a lot. Yes! Go back and look at it. Study it. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you stuff. I mean, this here lately, boy, I've been bouncing. I've been looking at the life of David. If you ever want to see what true worship looks like, look at David. Y'all go, oh, he was an adulterer. And let me tell you something. That's why you're not God. That's why you're not Jesus, okay? Because you know what God did for this man? He said, there will never cease to be a man sit up on David's throne. And his name is who? Jesus. He's the one that's going to sit up on David's throne forever and ever and ever. God honored that man. We all might call him an adulteress and a killer. God called them son. Oh, my little sneaker in there. So, it's written. So that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Hope in who? Jesus. Okay? Hope in Jesus. Hope in Jesus. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. That is huge. I can't say that enough from the scriptures. That is what's lacking today. The spirit of unity. You know what happened? When denominations came along, it destroyed the spirit of unity. In other words, maybe the word destroyed may not be proper. It quenched the spirit of unity from the Holy Spirit among God's children. Because now you got one sect saying, oh, we're better than you because we believe like this and you don't. And this one said, no, we're better than you. We got it right. We can go all the way back to Peter or whatever the case they want to claim.
Then there's the ones that don't want to be a sect.
Right. And there's some that saying, well, we got it all. We're not. Neither are. And I'm going, Lord Jesus. The bottom line is this. If you're naming the name of Jesus, if you've been born again, the Spirit of the living God is in you, and you're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you're walking according to God's Word, there is unity among God's children, no matter where you dwell geographically or where you call your place of worship.
Amen.
Okay? Whenever we meet by the Spirit, there's instant unity. Okay? Instant love among the brothers and sisters. Instant gratification of the Spirit. Okay? Too often we want to look at behavior of each other and say, no, you can't come worship here because you're living this way, or you've lived this way. When in fact, again, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of who? Of God. And we all need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And filled by the Spirit. Did you know that the apostles could not do the work of Christ without subsequent fillings of the Holy Spirit? Let me encourage you to read all 28 chapters of Acts. And in fact, I may even have a copy on my computer where I went back and did it some years back, where I went and I deleted the chapter headings and the verses and made it one continuous letter. Sit down and read one continuous letter of the book of Acts. And when you do, you're going to be moved. Block out 3 or 4 hours and say, Holy Spirit, if it's possible, I don't want to be disturbed because I want to see what you want me to see in the scriptures here. And I want to hear what the apostles are saying by you in the scriptures. And watch what will happen. And you will see the Holy Spirit falling upon those apostles time and time and time again. And also, you will find out that there were numerous occasions of new saints being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues. When I seen that the other day and go, oh my God, look at that. I seen it listed multiple times in the book of Acts. And they spoke with new tongues. What do you call that? The only thing was missing was the fire landing upon them of the Holy Ghost, the cloven tongues of fire. But it's saying they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke with new tongues. That word new actually means new. And tongue, glossio, means languages. Not this babbling that some people like to do. But the language that the Holy Spirit allowed them to speak. Okay? And anyway, I just threw that out there. So accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. That is the hallmark of the Christian life. Christian living on earth. If there's ever time to draw unbelievers to Jesus, or shall I say not a time, but how? If you want to know how to draw unbelievers to Christ, get the love of your fellow brothers in Christ and your sisters in Christ the way Christ does. And watch what Jesus does with the heart of unbelievers. The unbelievers will turn their hearts to you, and you will turn their hearts to Jesus.
Amen.
Watch this. The greatest, I'm kind of raggedy in the mind when I'm throwing this out here. You want to see a demonstration of love? Watch your brother that owns a car dealership come and give me a brand new truck. Say, I never heard you need a new truck. Here you go.
Amen.
And watch an unbeliever say, he did what? My brother in Christ just brought me a brand new truck. But you don't see that kind of giving. But you know what? In the book of Acts, you will see that kind of giving. The scriptures say they had land and they sold the land and came and laid the proceeds at the foot of the apostles. And they took and distributed it accordingly to everyone's need. Where one didn't have too much and the other one didn't have too little. Now, if you ask brothers and sisters in Christ to sell a boat or a car or a shotgun or something like that today, they'll tell you out your mind. Am I right?
Yeah.
You know how many times I've gone in my closet and pulled nice dress shirts out that were still starched and given to brothers in Christ because I know they need them and there's no way I need that many shirts? You know how many times I've done that over the years? Multiple times. I'm not bragging. I'm setting an example. I'm giving a testimony of what the Lord Jesus Christ have dealt in my heart. If pastors can't lead this way, Lord help the rest. Okay? So, you want to love somebody, not just the material things. Look, I just want to come spend some time. Let me tell you. Brother Million, Brother Clinton, we're really getting to know each other now. But when I was in Germany, I had some deacons. This one Dudley, his name was Dudley, Deacon Dudley. Crazy as a bed bug. I could be laying down in the bed and Lord knows this has happened. I don't know how many times Deacon Dudley, he would bust through the front door. Hey, where's my pastor? He was loud and boisterous. And my wife would say, oh, he's in the bed laying down. And he would come and jump in the bed beside me, kiss me on the jaw. He said, hey, pastor, how's it going? You crazy thing, you. Get out of my bed. But what was he doing? He was loving me in his own crazy way. And I never seen love like that. And our Sunday school teacher was the principal of the school. He walked up to me in the service and kissed me on the jaw in front of everybody. And go, men don't kiss men in the 21st century.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do it. They belong to Jesus.
That's right.
But those brothers were demonstrating a love that I had never seen before. The love that he said here to do. And you know what? I learned quickly, Deacon. And I would go and I would love those younger brothers and those older brothers in Christ. And whatever family had a need, me and them deacons would get together and we would go and we would go personally. We wouldn't send somebody else. We would go ourselves. And we would meet that need, or the sisters would go and get that spouse, my wife and others. And yes, some of them older sisters in Christ, they grabbed that Belinda when her young butt. Yeah, I'm saying it like that. And let me tell you, they say, you coming with us, Miss Pastor Wife. We're going to teach you how to love your husband. Huh? You hear me? Yes. And they would take that sister. They would take her shopping. Same thing that Belinda's doing with you. I'm not saying she's teaching you how to love your husband. I'm talking about spending time with you. And they would spend time with her, showing her how to love her husband in a godly way. And them brothers, and I get along because I told y'all, I'm just testifying now. One day, me and two of them, the deacons, we were sitting in the eating area of the shopping, what we call the PX. And I don't know how they always tricked me into paying for lunch, but they did. But anyway, we're sitting there, and the two of them are there, and we're all three of us in uniform. And all of a sudden, Deacon Dudley screamed out, "Don't turn around, Pastor, don't look." And I'm sitting like this, what? I'm an MP, I'm not used to people startling me, because next thing I'm going for is my gun. And so he goes, "Don't turn around, Pastor." He said, "Oh, let's get up out of here, devil, you're a liar." I go, "Oh my goodness, boy, this must be really bad, Dick, screaming out like this." And they said, "Pastor, don't look." I'm going, "Okay." All of a sudden, two girls, young ladies, walk by with Daisy, shorter than Daisy Dukes, with the cheeks hanging out. What were those men doing to me?
Protecting.
They were protecting me. Mm-hmm. And they said, "Come on, let's get out of here, Pastor," and ushered my butt right on out of that place. That's what they did. They were loving me. And I was too young to even understand that kind of love. I go, "Huh? What? They didn't even want to hit my eyes. Because once that image hit here, it's hard to get rid of it. Because it feeds the soul, doesn't it? Now, so that's huge. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs. Listen, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs, everything that God had promised them, Jesus Christ came to fulfill it, to show the Father's promise, that the Father fulfilled this promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You getting that? And so for the Jews on this side of the table, for the Jewish Christians to receive this kind of knowledge from Paul, this is huge. You mean Paul a few years ago, the one they hung on the cross, fulfilled God's promise to Abraham? Oh, yes, he did. The promise that he carried on over to Isaac and on over to Jacob? Yes, he did. It's a done deal. The promises that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. First, he confirmed it through what's called the Abrahamic covenant. Because Abraham died, he didn't live to see that promise fulfilled. So God passed it on to who? To Isaac. And Isaac passed it on to who? To Jacob. And Jacob passed it on to who? The 12 sons of Israel. And so forth and so on, all the way down till the day of Jesus, when the Messiah came into the world, when God brought him. Okay? And how was Abraham's descendant going to be blessed? By Jesus. And how were all the families of the earth going to be blessed? Genesis 12:3. How was that to take place? How is it possible that one nation can bless everybody? Jesus, by shedding his blood. So by him shedding his blood, it fulfilled that requirement. Okay? He told Abraham, he said, "Your descendants will be blessed forever." How? Have you read the book of Revelation? It tells you. Huh? What's happening to the 12 tribes? God got a place for them. It's called the New Jerusalem, just in case some of you don't know. Go back. I just did a preaching series on it. Okay. All right, Emily, doing a pretty good job there. So if I tell you that Christ has become a servant, right? And then in verse 9, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Listen now. Now God's showing you, I did not leave you Gentiles out. Other nations of the world, the rest of the nations of the world, I haven't left you out. How? Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Now, this is Jesus telling God that he's going to sing to the Father on the behalf of the nations. Wow. You want to talk about a blessing. Folks, we are those nations. And every nation outside of the nation of Israel that have gotten saved up to this point fulfilled that promise. Okay, in Christ Jesus. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you people. That's listed throughout the psalmist. Are there not? There's various places, too many places for me to tell you all of them. You got to go back and read yourself. Okay? Read the Psalms. Let the nations praise who? the Lord, it says. The psalmist said, let the nations praise the Lord. Okay? Or let the isles praise him. Who's he talking about? The nations. So go. Read it. It's pretty good stuff. All right. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse. Uh-oh. Chapter 11 of Isaiah. The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. How's it possible Jesus get the title of King of Kings and Lord of Lords? It doesn't mean if he's not ruling over the nations. It would simply say he's the king over the nation and the Lord over the nation. If it's only one, right? If it's only Israel. No, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isn't that marvelous? Wonderful. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, when we begin to love people, and that's what Paul is sharing with the church there in Rome. When you love people, when you genuinely love people with the love of Christ, then the Holy Spirit will bring that joy in you. And now he's not talking about the time when you're crying because somebody hurt your feelings or you're going through something. He's talking about everyday joy that people see you bubbling and go, oh boy, she's always happy. You're always smiling. You always got a grin on your face. And people say, why are you always so happy? You say, Jesus. That's what I tell them, one word, Jesus. Because they want to know your antidote. What pill are you popping, you know? What kind of therapy are you going to? I go, Jesus.
That says it all.
Yes. So when we're loving the Holy Spirit, he fortifies. And he continues to fill you with himself so that you can always go and tell people. Okay? And show people that love. Even on my worst days, I still love people. And I still try to share Christ with people. Okay? People need to see. I can't tell you this enough. There should not be an event over Christians where the enemy can ride their backs. Should not. In the name of Jesus, heal that. Bring it out of us, Lord. Right now. He would not have inserted himself in this message if he didn't mean that. The power of the Holy Spirit, that means he enables you. And what is power dunamis? And if you look at and understand this, this means a supernatural energy in you, getting you to do something that you couldn't do before. Because before you probably was moody and nobody wanted to talk to you. Okay? My wife said something this morning at breakfast and almost threw me off the chair. She said, I love to talk to people. You know how many times in the past I used to try to get this sister to talk to people and she would just brush them off and be rude. And to hear her say that, I know the Holy Ghost had empowered her. Okay? Now, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brother, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. All right. Make that equal to today. You know the word of God, right? You know the word of God. You know the word of God. Say yes. You know the word of God, right? Teenager behind the computer. You know the word of God, right? Yes. In other words, you know what you got to do, right? We're no longer ignorant. Can't play the ignorant card anymore. Okay. We know. That's what he's saying. And he said, I have the confidence to know that you know what to do. And that when one of you get out of line, you say to the other, hey, come here. Stop that. Yeah. Right? Oh, loving like we love RA. Boy, the back of that child head got to be flat by now. That's abuse, right? RA? Yeah. He said, if y'all love me like this, my goodness, I'm running away from home. Okay, verse 15. I have written to you quite boldly on some points as if to remind you of them again. Because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentile with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And you're going, what in the world did he just say? You are Paul's testimony, he's saying to the church. Gentiles, your very life now show that God has done a work in you by the Holy Spirit. You're no longer the same.
Amen.
Okay? Your life has now been changed by Christ Jesus. Thank you are different.
Jesus.
Okay? You're different. Y'all owe the Lord 10 minutes. Y'all know that, right? Y'all started late. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. Okay? It's our responsibility in everything that we do to give Christ the glory, and that glory goes to God. Okay? When you do this, when you love one another, when you respect one another, and you live in unity of the Spirit, you give glory to Christ, who in turn give God the glory. And God in turn give his Son the glory back. Okay? If you don't believe me, go back and read, start in John chapter 14, verse 12. Okay, when he talks about greater works than these you shall do because I go back to the Father. And he begin to tell you why. He says, so that the Father will glorify the Son. Loving one another. Yes, that's a good work for a lot of people. That's a task. Okay, because some people are hard to love. And some people it's hard for them to love. But when you do it Jesus' way, guess what? The Father said, hey, look, Jesus. Look, Son. Look at her. Look what you've done in her life. And Jesus just gloated before the Father. I could just see him glowing. Look what you did in him. Look. That's the kind of testimony we want, don't we? Okay? So, therefore I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ had accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. Bring number 19 to the top, please. Duty, responsibility, obligation, all this stuff. Bottom line is, go love somebody. Show them Jesus. And you know what? Show them that you love them by loving another saint. Okay? Let's get off our high horses, self-pity boxes, because that's what he's saying. You know, being self-centered. Let's give the attention to someone else. And when we do that, God will give attention to us. Because now we're no longer putting ourselves first, but putting other people first. And that's what Paul will later write to the church in Philippi in chapter 2, verse 5. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who was came, who did what? Found himself or made himself of no reputation, but coming in the form of a man or the appearance of a man, right? Who humbled himself. He humbled himself doing what? He humbled himself and became obedient, even to death, death on a cross. In other words, being equal with God, he didn't brag about it, okay? Came down here and remained humble and obedient to God. And then the next verse said, and God highly exalted him by giving him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Okay? Things in heaven, things on earth, and things in earth. Okay? And so when you look at all of that, that's you. Because that whole chapter, beginning of Philippians chapter 2, is telling you and I to stop being selfish and begin to care about other people. Okay? All right. We're going to take it to the end. I'm go a little bit faster. If I go too fast, slow it down. By the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit, so from Jerusalem all the way around Iconium, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. He just told you. He said, listen, when the Holy Spirit told me to go out and preach, he said, I did it. Okay? And signs and wonders, miracles happen. Okay? Miracles happen. Awesome. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known so that I would not build on someone else's foundation. Don't go and duplicate somebody else's work. Go allow the Spirit to give you your own work, your own task. You go find your own folks to witness to. Okay? You go and pave your path that the Lord is showing you. And you come back with the testimonies. And you, did you know when Paul was preaching and Peter then was preaching, as you read in the book of Acts, especially in chapter 15, you find out that they reported back to the elders in Jerusalem what they had done. After each mission, okay, after each missionary journey, they came back and told what they had done. Okay? Come back and take a look at it. All right. Rather, it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. Okay? Listen, don't go where somebody else is going to preach the gospel and these people rejected God and you go, oh, I'll go show them. No. You go somewhere where the gospel will be received. Okay? This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. Why? Because he was out there plying new ground for the Lord. He was sowing seed in other parts where the gospel had not been preached. Make sense to you? But now that there's no more place for me to work in these regions, did you get that? He's done what he's supposed to do, right? And since I have been longing for many years to see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. So I tell you, this church has been in place for a good little while, right? And he said he wanted to go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and have you to assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Otherwise, I'm going to need your help on this mission to Spain. Okay? Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. If you go back and read 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you find out the collection. There was a hard time going on in Jerusalem, okay? And Paul urged those saints to give, and the Gentiles did, and he was going to deliver that. All right. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them, for if the Gentiles have shared in Jewish spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessing. In other words, God used the Jews to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, so the Gentiles should turn around and bless them with things that they need. Yes, sir. One hand taking care of the other. Got it? So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this fruit, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. By the way, he never made it to Spain. Anybody know why? He was executed. He had made plans. Remember I told you earlier at the beginning of this class that Paul had made plans. A man makes plans, but it's God who orders his footsteps. Paul had made plans to go to Spain, but God said, no, you're not going. And Paul would go to Rome, but not as a free man. He would go as a prisoner, a political prisoner who would later be executed. But while in Rome, he did speak to the emperor. He did speak to kings. He did speak to the army, because the soldiers that were chained to him, he ministered to them. So the gospel continued to be spread even after they executed him. They beheaded him.
After he preached?
Yeah. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he didn't know how that blessing was coming, though, did he? So I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there. Notice how they hated Jesus. They also hated who? They hated all the apostles. And Jesus said, if they did this to your master, what do you think they're going to do to the servants? Okay. Same thing. Okay? So that by God's will I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. And the rest of that, I can just read it down through real quick, and this will finish this chapter. It's just a benediction Paul sent by in his letter to the Roman church. Okay? Is that okay if I read it? Take 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Pull it up to the top, sweetie. Chapter 16, pull it to the top. It says, I commend you, our sisters, Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. People like to say that women should head ministries. What was this woman doing? She was heading a ministry, was she not? And Paul urged the church in Rome to help her. And by the way, the church in Rome wasn't a small church either. Rome was a metropolis. The Holy Ghost was working mightily there. Greet also the church that meets at their house churches. Some pastors don't want church members to meet in their house because they're afraid they'll lose them. But guess where they'll meet in at first? Houses. You just told us. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Okay? Wow. And it's possibly Asia could possibly have been Ephesus or one of those regions of the seven churches. Because that was known as Asia Minor. Okay? Modern day Turkey. Greek Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greek Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. Otherwise, he had others who were arrested. They are outstanding among the apostles. Notice that. And he just didn't talk about the 12 apostles. He said other apostles, because Jesus Christ had other apostles telling you and I that the lie that they're telling today, there are no apostles today, they're lying. Because Paul himself just said there were other apostles. Did you see that? They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greek Epaphras, who I love in the Lord. Greek Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. By the way, these are all Greek names. That's why they're kind of tough. Okay? Our fellow worker in Christ and my dear friend Stechus. Greek Apelles, test and approve in Christ. Ooh. That could be a whole new lesson. Greet those who belong to the household of Arbuthnus. Greet Herodionus, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus. At first, that kind of, I thought going, what? Isn't that the thing that we tell people that you don't want to be a narcissistic person? No, that's actually no. It sounds very close, but no, that's not it. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosas. These are all women who love the Lord. Those women who work hard in the Lord, greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. What is happening here? All the pillars he's naming are women, majority of them. Did you see the pattern?
There was a lot of them.
Greek Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Look at that. Our Greek Assiscritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brothers with them. Greek Philologus. Wow. I explained to you what that means one day. Julio, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and the saints with them. Boy, I'm getting to work out today in Greek. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Big brother. Yeah. Reach up and kiss your wife on the jaw. Say, this is from the Lord. All right. All the churches of Christ send greetings. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings you have learned. Keep away from them. Okay? We have an obligation to stay away from false teachers. Okay? For such are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Other words, weak-minded people who are gullible. Okay? All right. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of of joy over you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. You got that? Hallelujah. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, and my relatives. Boy, he had a lot of kinfolks there, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And Tertius, who wrote down this letter, although he was a scribe, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. And Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, boy, had a key official working there, didn't he? And our brother Quintus send you their greetings. If you notice, verse 24 was omitted. That means that the Greek that they used, that's why I don't necessarily like the NIV, the Greek that they used did not have it listed. But the majority Greek, known as the majority text, had it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So whatever translation they used when they translated the NIV didn't have that. Okay? Verse 25, now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel, this is known as a doxology, in other words, giving God the glory. I read it to you from the King James side. Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Written to the Romans from Corinthians, other words from Corinth. Paul was in jail in Corinth. Okay? It says here, and sent by Phoebe, the servant of the church at Caesarea. Wow. That's a big letter. To God be the glory. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap. We just finished the book of Romans. Wow. And so, pretty good ending there, huh? The whole letter's good. Y'all ready to go home? It's almost 7:30. Wow, I kept y'all long. Okay. But God is good. Amen. And Lord Jesus magnified. Let's pray. Anybody need us to pray after Shelly just beat him? Probably need healing. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you so much for your living word. Once again, Lord Jesus, you prove yourself mightily in your word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and always God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for reminding us this. It's now that you be with every one of us and help us to live truth in the integrity of our hearts with your gospel. As Paul has written to the church in Rome, he has also, by way of them, written to us. Help us to be obedient to it for you and Father's glory. It is in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's see how well I did this time, big brother.